Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Starting and operating a small business against all odds, living largely by your wits, you demonstrate more courage and devotion to a dream than any other non-military American in this century. Star back is 13 after. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our very good friend, Beverly Williams, the president of the American Association of Home-Based Businesses, the AAHBB, is our special guest and our good friend. Beverly, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you. Good morning.
It's good to have you here, especially since we're going to talk about things that are important to home-based business owners. As my audience knows, at least once a week we try to do a show on home-based business issues, the things that are specific to home-based business owners. Everything that we do here on the show affects home-based business owners, not just people who are out of the home, but specifically on this in this hour, we talk about things that are really pertinent and particular to home-based business owners. And you've got some success tips that we've been covering, Beverly Williams' success tips for home-based business. And Beverly, where are we on our list?
Well, I would like to talk today about number 14, put your business plan in writing, even if you're the only one that ever reads it.
People are, and somebody's listening, saying, "Oh no, not another business plan. I don't want to have to, everybody tells me I need to write a business plan. My banker says you got to write a business plan. My lawyer says you got to write a business plan. My accountant won't get out of my face about my business plan.
Mm-hmm.
How do I write a business plan?"
Well, we'll tell them 7 easy steps to do that. And for those people who don't have a banker, hopefully they have an accountant. But aren't going for any kind of financing, but simply need some direction. We'll call it a plan of business, and maybe that'll feel a little more comfortable.
I feel much better.
Okay. There is a real need. I'm finding as I talk to people across the country about their home-based businesses, some of them have been in business for 5, 6, 7 years, and they have never written any kind of a plan. And I don't know how you take any trip without planning for it, without looking at a road map and sort of drawing your lines, highlighting your route. And that's basically the same thing a business plan is for your business.
But I've got it in my head, Beverly. Haven't you heard them say that?
I have heard them say that, but
it's in my head. I know what I'm doing. It's in my head.
But if I ask them questions, they'll just look at me with a blank stare like, "Huh? What do you mean marketing plan?"
Well, I didn't say I had a marketing plan in my head. I said a business plan.
But part of your business plan is how you're going to market.
Yeah.
And it's really important. And for home-based businesses, there's an additional element that I ask them to look at, and that's what I call my contingency plan.
Mm-hmm.
What is the worst thing that could happen in your home office, and how would you handle it?
Right.
What if your house got struck by lightning? What if the plumbing in the upstairs bathroom suddenly went bad?
Mm-hmm.
And I can share personally a story about that this morning. Sitting here the other day and hearing a drip, drip, drip at my office desk, and looked over, and there is water coming down out of the ceiling light 3 feet away from my computer.
Mm.
We have a leak upstairs in the bathroom, and fortunately that's not where my computer was. But what if it had happened?
Mm-hmm.
What if water had gotten in my computer and the computer was down for a while? What would I have done? Even if what I plan for in my contingency plan isn't exactly what happens, if I've thought it through and I've written down a few things, it will just come back to me. I will be prepared for whatever that catastrophe is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things different about a business plan that home-based business owners would write. I think, too, that there's some other things that they need to look at, such as how you're going to incorporate your family lifestyle into your business plan or your plan of business. When you live and work under the same roof, they tend to get intertwined a little bit, and you need to think about how you're going to conduct business with either young children around or roommates or the telephone ringing and the washing machine going off balance. Think about those things, and there'll be less of a distraction down the road. So it's really getting together your thoughts, planning What do you think might happen? What do you think will happen? What do you want to make happen? And putting some words to it, putting it in writing.
What's the very first thing? All right, you've got my attention now,
okay.
and I believe you, and I'm ready to start my home-based business, and I'm not going to have it just in my head anymore. I'm going to write it down because Beverly Williams said I should, but I need to know. I've got pencil in hand or hands addressing typewriter or computer. Now, what's the first thing that I should do? What's
write
the very first thing I should write?
What business you're really in.
Okay.
And I don't mean your classification or category of business. I don't mean write down I'm an accountant or I'm a consultant
mm-hmm.
or I'm a desktop publisher or I'm a speaker. I want to know what the purpose of your business is. What is the benefit to your potential client?
What can you do for your customers?
Yes, exactly. The what's in it for me that your client is going to ask about.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you can truly answer that, and you need to write as much as you possibly can and then eliminate and consolidate your answer so that it comes down to a succinct few sentences.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to understand first, thoroughly, what business you're really in before you can ever begin to market or plan your business.
What would that sound like? Let's help somebody out. What would that sound like if I'm, let's say that I'm, I know about contracts, I was a former contract manager for the government or for some big company or something, and now I've been downsized, and I know about contracts. I know about making sure that the vendors and manufacturers work together properly with their contracts. How would I convert that what you're kind of talking about is a little bit of a mission statement.
Right, a mission statement or a statement of purpose.
Right. Well, what would that sound like?
I am in the business of providing perhaps affordable negotiation skills to medium-sized company in the metropolitan Washington, D.C. area who deal with government agencies and write million-dollar contracts.
Okay. Very good. I'm impressed. I mean, I folks, she had no idea I was going to ask her that.
No, I didn't.
That's very good. That's very good, Beverly. You know, and maybe you'd say something like, by doing business with me, my companies are able to outsource certain activities and et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Anyway, stand by. We're going to take a break. Folks, we're going to continue to talk about business planning for your home-based business when we come back after these messages. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're back, folks. It's 24 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our phone number, if you'd like to join us, if you're trying to write a business plan, if you don't have one for your home-based business, and you'd like to ask some specific questions, if we somehow are not getting right to the message that you want us to get to, and you have a question for us, a specific question or a general question, if you want to agree or disagree with us, 888-822-8255. Beverly Williams would love to hear from you. She's the expert in this area, and we'll be glad to let her talk to you. James Pearson is on the board. He's the best, and he will put you right through to us. 888-822-8255. Beverly, we're talking about business plans, and the first thing you said we needed to do was write down our statement of purpose, our mission statement, or whatever you want. And you had just given me one that I asked you for, and you came up with it beautifully, not knowing that I was going to ask you that. You also wrote one for yourself when you were doing desktop publishing, didn't you?
Right, I did.
What did it sound like?
It said that I was in the business of providing affordable desktop publishing services, which included computer-generated and laser-printed newsletters, brochures, flyers, and other design projects for small businesses and nonprofits in the Montgomery County, Maryland area.
Okay. Now, that's a good statement because that tells what you are about.
Mm-hmm.
But what I didn't hear in that was how that was going to benefit your customers.
Right.
Those were features, not benefits.
You're absolutely right because that was the first statement of purpose that I wrote, and I was almost 3 years into my business before I wrote that one.
Uh-huh.
It really was interesting. I think I could have done a whole lot more with my business sooner if I had not been so overwhelmed by the idea of sitting down and writing a plan of business,
mm-hmm.
a business plan. and I would not have floundered. I probably would have seen some of the roadblocks and detours in my path if I had sat down and thought some of that through. One of the things that I found in desktop publishing, I had this wonderful idea of doing these newsletters for particularly the nonprofits in our area, which are quite a few. And it wasn't until I began getting a lot of clients that I found everybody had the same deadline
mm-hmm.
for their newsletters. And so about the third week of the month, I was so busy that if I'd have worked 24 hours a day, it would have been fine. I might have caught up with my work. And the fourth week, I was busy finalizing everything and getting them to the printers. First and second week of the month were pretty dead. And I couldn't really go out and market for any more newsletter customers because they all had the same deadline, too, and I couldn't take on any more of that work.
Right.
So I had to begin diversifying what I was doing. I did it for some of the same clients, but I had to do something different than newsletters. If I had sat down and really thought that through beforehand, I probably would have made it a whole lot easier on myself and been more successful sooner.
One of the things that I like to talk to people about is something that typically a service provider of pure services, like you were and like I was in my consulting business, typically doesn't think about, and that is the concept of products.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? One of your products was a newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
For providing newsletter services.
Right.
Other products could have been helping them manage their internal desktop publishing operation.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they had their own, and you were an outsourced manager.
Right.
That's a product in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
A little, you know, a packaged up product, so to
right.
speak.
Right.
And that's something that really, once I realized that I had to come up with some products, and I put that into my business plan. That really helped me to categorize and to organize the different things that I could do, and to sell those things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, because it goes back again to, if you don't truly understand what your abilities and what you can offer are, then you can't tell that to your market. You can't
right.
convince them that you're worth hiring.
And once you can identify these products that you can offer, when you have an opportunity to talk to someone about what you do to see if they want to hire you, it makes it a lot easier for you to explain it to them and for them to take advantage of what you offer.
Right.
Stand by, Beverly. We've got to take a break. Folks, it's 29 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. 888-822-8255 is our phone number. If you'd like to join us, ask a question, make a comment, and we'll be right back with Beverly Williams. We are back. It's 33 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you very much for checking that out. That's where you can go to find out more about Beverly Williams, the president of the American Association of Home-Based Businesses, who is our guest this hour. She is there in the section called the Brain Trust. Her bio is there, including links to her website. Also, I'd like to remind you that when you go to my website, you can hear this interview until it's replaced with tomorrow's interview from my website. It's the on-demand feature on my website, and if you missed part of the show or if you at another time you didn't get a chance to listen to the show and you wanted to, you can go back within 24 hours, and on the weekends, all of the Friday shows are all the way through to Monday morning. You can go back and hear those shows at your convenience. And Beverly, I'd like for you to give our audience your website and phone numbers, please.
Sure. That's www.aahbb.org, O-R-G, and 1-800-447-9710. almost couldn't remember there for a second. I don't call it very often.
give it to us again.
1-800-447-9710.
$30 a year, folks, is all it costs to be a member of the AAHBB. It's the best money you ever spent, and it will be a good investment for you, I promise. Beverly, we're talking about business planning for home-based businesses, and your first thought was to write a mission statement. I called it a mission statement, a statement of purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned that would be another way of saying it. And we were trying to develop inside of that not only what you do, but how that benefits the customer.
Mm-hmm.
And because for a home-based business owner, what you do may not automatically help your customers understand what you can do for them. If you have a tire store on the boulevard then everybody knows what you can do for them.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a home-based business owner, number one, the person you're talking to may never have done business with a home-based business owner. They may not even know one. Number two, they might not understand how they could work with you. They may, and it's their fault, it's not your fault, but they may not really understand, you know, how to plug in with you, and you've got to help them with that,
right,
don't you?
Exactly. That's why a lot of times, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and if you haven't thought about that, if you haven't internalized that, if you haven't developed that in your mind and actually put it down on paper so you can read it over and over again, you can't help them.
Exactly. And a lot of times you'll hear ads on television, for instance, or you hear salesmen say, I sell peace of mind, or I sell, my mind just went blank. But you've heard the statements, and you look at people and go, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's one of the benefits, and yet they're not giving you the whole picture. And sometimes it may be deliberate, sometimes not. But it's important, I think, for people to understand truly what they're selling, and it is the benefits.
If you, for example, if you were, when you were in your news, doing your newsletter business,
mm-hmm.
you could have, if you'd walked up to a CEO or whatever, and or whoever, and that person said, why should I do business with you? And then maybe a real simple thing to say would have been, a benefit statement to him would have been, or her, would have been, I help you communicate.
Well,
or something like that.
I really started out with the benefit of saving money because that's what the desktop publishing was. It was affordable over having to have somebody else do it. But communication was another key. If they had never done a newsletter, then it was the communication with your market and how important that was and how easy it was through a newsletter versus trying to make phone calls to everybody or send a letter to everybody that didn't cover all the things you wanted to cover. So communication was certainly important, but first and foremost, I could save them money.
Right. Well, now let's move away from the mission statement a little bit, and do you think it's a good idea to as you're thinking about this business plan, don't you think it's a good idea to write down the major categories of what you're going to be working on?
Oh, absolutely.
What would be the first thing that you would want in your business plan for your home-based business after the mission statement?
How am I going to finance it?
All right.
The reason I say that is a number one thing is because, as we mentioned in the beginning, a lot of people think that you have to write a business plan in order to go to your banker to get funds to start or operate your business.
Mm-hmm.
And traditionally, it's almost impossible to go to a bank or a financial institute as a home-based business owner, particularly if you've had no other business experience and you actually haven't started the business yet, and say, I need a loan.
Well, now, wait a minute. What do you mean, how am I going to finance it? I'm going to have customers. They're going to give me lots of money.
Really?
All I've got to do is write a business. All I've got to do is come up with a business card and just give them out, and people will give me money.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that how it works?
All right. I wish. There's very few people that I know of who open their door one day and begin getting accounts in payment of those accounts immediately.
And you know what? People are going to think that this is crazy, but sometimes that's a disadvantage. I actually know people who did that.
Uh-huh.
They actually started their business with a really good customer.
Right.
And they worked for that customer and no one else for a year or so.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they lost that customer, they didn't know what to do.
Right.
And they went broke because they had not been hustling. They had not been penetrating the marketplace at all.
Yes.
So that could be a disadvantage.
Yes, it could.
Stand by. We're going to take a break. It's 39 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back with Beverly Williams, the President of the American Association of Home-Based Businesses. Welcome back, heroes. It's 44 after. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com, and we are closer and closer to having the new website up with all of the archives, including many, many archives with our special guest this hour, Beverly Williams, our good friend and one of my heroes, the president of the American Association of Home-Based Businesses. And I'm looking forward to that, Beverly. I'm looking forward to when people will be able to go and hear a lot of our visits that we've had in the past.
Well, I think it's going to be wonderful. And what a wonderful resource for people to be able to go out from their computers and listen to certainly not just to me, but hopefully they will do that too if they need that information. But all the wonderful people that you've had on the show, because I don't always get to listen to them, and I'm looking forward to it.
It's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to everybody being able to take advantage of that. Beverly, we're talking about business planning. And folks, if you haven't noticed by now, we said this at the very beginning, but I'll say it again. This business plan that we're helping you develop for your home-based business is not the one to take to your bank. Mm-hmm. This is for you. Because, so, in other words, if we were doing one for your bank, we would have already gone down through, you know, all the classic outline, you know, start with the executive summary and then move on down and et cetera, all the different things that you've heard me talk about with Tim Berry, our business planning expert. This business plan is for you because you can't write one for the bank if you haven't got one for yourself to start with. And that's the reason why, if you're wondering why we've taken the direction that we have, is because these are some of the things that you've got to ask yourself real quick. Number one, who are my customers? Number two, what can I do for them? And number three, how am I going to finance this until those customers' checks get to me and clear the bank,
mm-hmm.
which is where we are right now.
Yes, and just one more comment on the traditional business plan versus the plan of business that we're talking about. And I want people to understand that I'm not discouraging them from writing traditional business plans. I truly believe that it is important for you, before you ever open the doors to your business, to sit down and go through that process. You will have a much better chance for success if you can do that. The difficulty I found is that people aren't doing anything at all because that seems so overwhelming to them, and they only see it as a reason to do if they're going to a bank for finance.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than doing nothing at all, at least plan for what you're going to do and how you're going to do it in the seven steps of a plan of business that I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Do something because you'll have a better chance of success.
888-822-8255 if you want to give us a call. Beverly, what's next on the list?
Well, we talked about the getting the money, but the other side of that is how are you going to price? And we've talked about how to price your product or service before, so you hopefully have some idea on how to do that. Who else is going to be involved in your business? Who will do your books? If you're not a bookkeeper, you're not an accountant yourself, who else is going to do that work for you?
You're going to need some other resources, and you can't do everything.
That's right. You can't do everything. You may try and do it at the beginning, but eventually you're going to have to probably look to others for help. You may also want to think about, at this point, if when your business grows, what is the threshold to where you can no longer do it by yourself, and would you hire somebody either in their own home office or to work in your home office, or would you use independent contractors to grow your business? You also, you may have the most wonderful business plan or plan of business, but do you know that there really are people out there who are going to buy your product or your service? Have you done any market research?
Mm-hmm.
And you can do that at your local Office of Economic Development, your Chamber of Commerce, your local library in the business section. There's all kinds of information available.
Ask your network.
Ask your network, absolutely.
But you've got to be able to put it in terms, as we said a little in the last segment, you've got to be able to put it in terms that will help them answer your question. Because because they're not thinking the way you need them to think in order to do business with you.
Right. Well, that's why that's statement of purpose or your mission
yes.
statement was the very first thing, because it
right.
is the basis for everything else. Once you find out that hopefully there is indeed a market and enough of a market for you to operate this business, how are you going to let them know you're there? One of the downsides of being a home-based business is you don't have an office building directory or a big sign out front, and traditionally they don't have big ads in the yellow pages of the telephone book.
Right.
How are people going to find you? How are they going to know you're there? We talked about the contingency plan. What's the worst thing that can happen, and how would you handle it? I also think it's important for people to sit down and say, once they've sort of written down their outline of all these things, what are you going to do first? And what are you going to do second? Chronologically, what is your order of things? What do you need to put into place before you can take the next step?
What do you think, what is the first thing that you would recommend?
Well, I think it goes back to, if you know what your business is and you've set up your office, you've done all the things, I think you need to start marketing. But you may not be able to market until you've put in place your business name, your stationery, business cards, all those things that you might need in order to be able to market. And maybe it's not physical things. Maybe it is just simply getting out and getting known in your community through networking.
Don't you recommend that people have a certain level, a minimal level, at least a business card, maybe a small desktop published brochure, but don't spend a lot of money in the early days on marketing material? Would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
I've seen people do that. I've seen people spend a fortune and on stuff like that, and they weren't necessarily home-based business. I've seen people who had regular, you know, businesses downtown that did that. That's not the right, the best use of your money in the early days.
Right. Exactly.
Stand by, Beverly. We've got to take a break, folks. It's 50 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're going to be right back with our very good friend Beverly Williams of the AAHBB. We are back. It's 54 after. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Beverly Williams is our special guest and our good friend. She's the president and the founder of the American Association of Home-Based Businesses. And Beverly, give us your website one more time.
That's www.aahbb.org. O-R-G.
Thank you. And my website, folks, is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for checking that out. I want to remind you, coming up in the next hour, Joan Pryde, senior editor with the Kiplinger Letters, is going to be with us. And then after that, some of our next guests are going to be Gerald Salente, who is a trends tracker. He does what it sounds like. He tracks the trends. And also Natalia Lee has conducted a great survey and written a book called Revenge of the Computer Widow. And this is a survey about how people act online, what they're doing online. It's going to be very interesting. Beverly, let's wrap up the hour by finishing up on the different points of a plan of business for a home-based business owner.
Well, the very last thing that I suggest in my 7 steps to a plan of business is, how will you know when you are successful? It may sound like a dumb thing to people, but success really is defined so differently for everybody that you need to understand what your definition of success is. And maybe it's a certain level of money, maybe it's a certain number of clients, maybe it is expanding your business to a certain point, maybe moving it out of the home office. But whatever that milestone is for you, that level of success, understand what that is and know that that's what you're working towards. I think that that helps a great deal. And if you spend some time talking to yourself, talking to your spouse, your business partner, whoever will listen to you,
that's an important point, isn't it?
Some people may get tired of hearing you after a while if you talk about your business for a while. Some people just say, quit talking about it and get on with it. Well, but there is a certain amount of brainstorming that is very helpful for people. And I think that if you can even brainstorm just with yourself on paper these 7 things, you will be much, much farther down the road to success than if you just simply got up one day and say, okay, I'm in business and let's go to it. Those people that you mentioned earlier, and I've certainly known them, that left their job for whatever reason, downsizing or because they wanted to move out into being independent, and started off with a client right away and worked with that client for 6 months, a year, 3 years even, and then suddenly that client was gone and they had no idea how to do anything else, how to get other clients, how to focus to their market, because they really didn't understand what business they were truly in and they had no plan of business. You cannot operate that way. You will not be a business tomorrow if you don't do some planning. And I have had people do this process and sit down and not look at that again for a year and then go back and look at it and say, wow, most of those things happened just the way I wrote them down. There's something about putting it on paper. If you never look at it again, it's in your mind. You've sort of transferred it to a more permanent place, and it is there.
One of the things I'd like to recommend that people write down in big letters and put up on their wall as part of their business plan is what's in the pipeline. If you don't have it coming at you in the pipeline, if you haven't done proposals or prospecting or whatever to make sure that the work you have next month has been proposed and about to be closed this month, you're in trouble.
Right.
And
well, I've always liked your "if it is to be, it is up to me." I think that that is so true.
Yeah, it is. And that's got to be the last word, Beverly. You did a great job helping us understand a plan of business for home-based businesses on this day. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
See you next week.
I'll be here.
Bye-bye. Got to wrap it up for this hour, folks. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember, if it is to be, it is up to me. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.